At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Cavs lost yesterday. Didn't know if you knew, Tom.
This one felt particularly... Look, I don't. I'm not picking the Pacers to win the series or anything. We're still favorites, by the way. I did find out we still are favorites to win, even though we don't have home court. We're
down still
one.
Like 9-point favorites.
Well, we're favorites
You're
to win the series.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry. I think we're still like -250 or whatever. So it's
I know what that means.
That's good.
I'm not much of a gambler, but
it means the odds are in your favor to win.
But that did feel jarring. Like that just.
Yeah.
When Nembhard threw in that three-pointer in the fourth quarter, it was a two-point game from 30 feet where he flung it. It wasn't even his normal form. He threw it up with like three to go on the shot clock, and that went in. I'm like, are we going to lose?
And you're sitting there thinking, you bastards.
They went on like a 15-4 run.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's good. Daryl Ryder brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. He was there last night. Hello, Daryl.
Hello, boys. Good morning.
Well, Daryl's surprisingly chipper. Must be happy that the Cavs lost last
night.
Listen
knock
to
it
you,
off.
Mr. Positivity. Listen to you, Mr. Excitement.
They're going to be fine as long as they don't shoot 22% from three-point land.
It was like 23% from three-point land, Daryl. A little bit of credit. What's the matter?
I love it. I love it. He doesn't seem
he's positive. Browns Daryl.
He's positive. Off. Not in the mood for that today.
Yeah, Browns Daryl's a different Daryl.
That's the Browns guy. That's not the Cavs guy that I saw last night at the game, Daryl.
First week of the season, and you got to pull that nonsense.
It sounds so perfect.
So, Daryl, you think no reason to panic. You don't need to overreact. What do you think? You think it's just the shooting?
Yeah, I think the shooting killed them last night on both ends of the floor. Too many open looks for Indiana, especially on the perimeter. I'm not anticipating that the Pacers are going to shoot 53% the entire series from three-point land, and I'm not anticipating that Donovan Mitchell is going to be 1-for-11 from three in the game. They've got to get Darius back, though. I understand what Kenny Atkinson said yesterday about putting Sam Merrill in the starting lineup, but Sam was largely ineffective. That did not go well for them. So I don't know what they're going to do if Darius is not able to go with that sprained big toe. But, I just anticipate the Cavs are going to shoot the basketball better. And they really felt better about their defensive presence in the second half of the game. They kind of lamented the fact it took them about 24 minutes to kind of get used to what Indiana was doing. But... they didn't get used to it enough because the Pacers still, as you mentioned there, went on that run in the fourth quarter to put a little distance between themselves and the Cavs.
Yeah, Daryl, what did you think afterwards when Kenny Atkinson, I mean, he was annoyed with their defense. I mean, he definitely brought it up that the defense let him down. But everybody else, like Ty Jerome, was like, going to be a fun series and was smiling. Donovan Mitchell... I mean, was acting like it was a regular season game.
Yeah.
Do you think they need a little more urgency, or do you think they're that confident?
No, I think that they're that confident. Now, you don't handle your business Tuesday night, then we can have a conversation about urgency. But, you know, they didn't play an overrun. I'm not trying to make excuses for them. But, look, Indiana is not a team to be taken lightly. And they're a very good offensive team. What really impressed me most, it was hard to gauge those two games toward the end of the season. The Cavs were just trying to burn off the regular season schedule there. So I don't know that you can read too much into those. But what really impressed me was how the Pacers were able to tilt the floor in their favor with the ball movement. They would try and get four guys to one side and then spray the ball back to an open shooter on the opposite side of the floor. And they were just getting wide open looks all night long. And the Cavs closeouts were not very disciplined. So, you know, that is something that they're going to have to get in the film room and really pay attention to and come up with a fix. And one of the fixes that Evan Mobley talked about last night was they got to be a little more conscious about not getting caught stuck in the paint because this five-out offense that the Pacers run, they like to stay on the perimeter. They've got to be more disciplined and sticking to the perimeter instead of getting caught and getting jammed up there in the paint and having to adjust and sprint out to try and contest those open three-point shots.
Daryl, Darius Garland.
I am concerned about Darius. I said yesterday on my show that what I would have done with him, and this is just me, you know, spitballing, I would have put him in a walking boot for 2 weeks. And no practice, no nothing. You know, do the conditioning so you stay in shape or whatever, but, like, just let that toe and foot calm down as much as possible. And then I'll see you in game three. We'll take a look at it for game three, and hopefully at worst you're 1-1. And I said that going into the series. He practiced on Friday. Kenny Atkinson said it was a full practice, contact everything. Clearly it did not respond the way they wanted to. He didn't even come out to warm up yesterday. That was obviously the first indication that he probably wasn't going to play. And then about 40 minutes before tip-off, the Cavaliers made it official and ruled him out for the game. So, you know, they're not lying to you when they're talking about it's day-to-day and they don't know. But I'm a little worried about that sprained big toe of Darius Garland. I hope last night shut up all the Cavs don't need Darius Garland people that are out there. They need Darius Garland.
Daryl's talking tough on the fan. All right, Daryl, I agree with you about Darius Garland, by the way. I'm glad you said that.
They're not winning a championship without the kid. Like, I don't know where that came from. Thought process that a vocal minority of fans seems to have just boggles my mind.
Daryl, talked to a lot of Cavs fans yesterday that were...
Yes, you did, Anthony. You, sir, were a man of the people.
It's nice to be back.
They were lining up to talk to you yesterday.
Somebody did after Boobie Gibson and AC, they signed a jersey, and some woman had no idea who I was and said, oh, you can sign it too. And I said, honey, I'm not going to sign your jersey. I'm not going to devalue what was just done to your jersey. So,
hey, listen, at the card show, I had about a dozen people come up wanting my autograph on the card. And I'm like,
wow.
Well, if you really want me to devalue this piece of cardboard that's already been devalued with my picture on it, by all means, I'm happy.
How many autographs would you estimate you have given out over the years?
I would probably say that would be the entirety. maybe two dozen, but not a lot.
All right. So what the Cavs fans that I talked to, they were irate about the officiating, which the Pacers were bitching at the refs all night. It's the playoffs, is what happens. But one call in particular that seemed very, very damning was in the fourth quarter. Mathurin comes over to try to time up a block on DeAndre Hunter. Hunter is on the ground afterwards. Yeah, he got him clean up top. They review it. Then everybody in the building and everybody at home could see that there was contact to the chest that sent DeAndre Hunter flying. And yet they went to the replay and it was Pacers ball. What did you make of that scenario?
Well, actually, there was two. That happened to Jared Allen as well.
Yeah.
And Jared took a pretty hard fall and no call. Kenny Atkinson explained it that once you block the shot clean, everything goes. But I thought the contact to the chest led to the block. That's just me. I'm not an NBA official. I was watching the NBA on TNT guys last night. Charles Barkley talked about it. I really don't like when they do the review and they still get the call wrong. So it looked really, really bad. I thought, just watching it live, Anthony, I thought he broke his wrist the way he was down.
I was worried. Yeah, I was really worried, Daryl, at that point. I'm like, are we going to see him again in the playoffs?
Right. And so he said after the game, he's fine. He's good to go. They looked at his finger and he's going to, whatever he's got to do to be available, he will be available Tuesday night. We'll see how things look today. It's one thing to say that after the game and the adrenaline's going. It's another thing to sleep on it and wake up and whatever. So I was really worried that that was going to be a significant injury. So he's banged up a little bit. Obviously, we talked about Darius. Evan Mobley banged up a little bit. Donovan Mitchell was limping around a little bit in the fourth quarter. Look, Indiana brought the physicality. And I hate to dip back into this bucket. The Cavs got to respond. They've got to respond in kind. Indiana was not shy about the hard foul last night. Cavs need to not be shy about the hard foul. Now, I'm not saying you got to play dirty. I'm not going there. But look, if they're going to hit you hard, you got to hit back hard. Like that's how this goes in the playoffs. So, you know, I don't want to get into the Cavs are too soft type thing, but they didn't respond to the Pacers' pace yesterday, and they certainly didn't respond effectively to their physicality.
More Cavs with guest Danny Cunningham joining us at 9:01. I have to ask you some Browns here, Daryl, before we let you go. One,
yep.
Devin Bush, he was arrested in Pennsylvania. Yeah. Misdemeanor 2, it looks like, for the assault, the menacing, if I'm not mistaken. That is, I want to make sure we get everything right there. He also has a summary, Anthony. That's what they do in Pennsylvania. It's basically like we just add this on to it, but it's not the biggest thing there. So what could possibly, simple assault harassment, not menacing, yeah, harassment. That's why it's summary. Okay, so what's going to happen with Devin Bush? Nothing?
Well, he is subject to the discipline policy of the NFL.
Okay.
So, you know, obviously, legal process got to play out here, but he could be subject to discipline from the NFL. That is true.
Okay, so what would that do for us, depending on, we just got to wait and see what the NFL were to decide after they get this taken care of legally?
You got to wait for all this to play out, you know. So the legal process has to play out. League, obviously, going to look into it, and then, like I said, just got to Sit back and wait and see what happens with this.
What's Jerome Ford's pay cut mean for Nick Chubb?
It's not good because it basically I don't want to say guarantees job security for Jerome, but that's pretty much what it does. And it with them drafting the two rookie running backs, the Browns might want to bring him back, but I think the Browns want to bring him back on the team's terms and a team friendly contract, and you know it is a business. Nick Chubb wants to get his value as he should, so I don't think Nick Chubb's going to be back. That's just my view on it. Should he be back? Absolutely. They should bring him back, but I just think that where they are in that running back room and him coming off of two injuries. Box jumps or no box jumps, 500-pound squats or no 500-pound squats. It feels like that the Browns have insulated themselves in a way that allows Nick Chubb to go elsewhere.
Ken, have you had Grok do an analysis yet on Daryl's Twitter account, his ex account? I just had it.
Why?
Done. I just pulled it up.
Why?
Because I just realized you could do this. Daryl, a seasoned sports reporter for 92.3 The Fan, passionately covers the Browns with sharp insights and a knack for uncovering the gritty details of Cleveland Stadium saga. Riders live tweeting the Cavs versus Pacers game one, dishing out stats and shade on Cleveland's icy three-point shooting. The X community has mixed reactions to Daryl, with some like, with some like Mike Ammo criticizing his focus on Dylan Gabriel's height, while others like Leon Chestnut praising the coverage of Shador Sanders' community service.
Leon Chestnut.
You really need better things to do with your time there, Lima.
What does Morris Chestnut think? That's what I want to know. Daryl, real quick, who's the odd man out in Berea, the four quarterbacks, as of right now?
As of right now, none of them.
None of them?
Not right now, it's a four-man race, baby.
Okay, you're not going to keep all four, so who's the odd man out? Come on, who's behind the eight ball to start? Come on.
Well, the... who I think should be and who I want to be or might be two different things here.
Well, okay, well, give me the two different things. Who you want and who you think. Which one do you want to pick first?
I think that there will be a decision made between Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco.
Okay. Who do you want?
Joe Flacco, obviously.
Okay, so what you want is Kenny Pickett to be gone.
No, I didn't say that. I just,
okay,
you know,
so there's what you think.
Yeah.
And then what do you want?
Well, I'd like to say,
make your decision.
Because you like to do this to me,
yes,
Ken.
Yes, I do. I like to put you on the spot.
You love to take the flamethrower to me
here. The spot. Come on, let's go.
I would like Joe Flacco to be the Joe Flacco we saw for those 5 weeks.
Oh, for the love of God. So you just say you want Joe Flacco to start.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we're going to have Shador Sanders probably start the second half of the season because that's how it's going to go.
Okay, where's Dylan Gabriel and Kenny Pickett fit out in all this?
I'm going to say Dylan Gabriel's probably going to be either on the practice squad or QB 2 or 3.
How are you going to take a guy in the third round and put him on the practice squad?
It's roster management.
How are you
going to
take a guy in the third round and put him on the practice squad? Roster management and bloster management, I don't care. Doesn't matter.
Listen, I'm still stunned they made the pick, okay? I'm still coming to terms with the fact that they picked him. All right? I get Shador Sanders. I don't get Dylan Gabriel. I'm sure he's a fine young man, and I look forward to meeting him this weekend, but I just don't understand that selection.
All right,
other than they just loved looking at the numbers he put up in college, which, by the way, were pretty fantastic.
Daryl Rutter, brought to you by Shiven Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, thank you.
You bet, guys. Have a great week.
The outstanding Daryl Rutter. I am rooting of the two young guys. Which guy has the chance to be the quarterback of the Browns of the future? Better chance. Would it be Shador, do you think? Or do you think Dylan Gabriel? I just want to make sure I'm not putting words in your mouth.
I'm still saying Shador.
Okay. So I'm rooting for Shador. I'm rooting for anybody to take the reins of this because I think that it'd be great to use those two first-round picks next year on weapons,
right.
Plural. Or you could trade one of them and get more first-round picks.
But that is going to be a topic throughout the year.
Yeah, it will
How
be.
Good of a year does one of these kids have to have for them to not take a first-round pick
I gotta
on a
tell
quarterback?
You, it better be a good year because here is Dane Brugler, and he was on Scoop City with Diana Russini, and this was on Friday afternoon, and you go right on ahead and you play this.
The Travis Hunter trade, like, I think that is going to be...
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My lasting memory of this class is Jaguars being bold, getting someone that's going to help them on offense and defense, and then what does this mean for the Browns moving forward? It's a pretty exciting quarterback class next year. I don't, there's not like a Caleb Williams or a Drake May where it's like, oh, there's an obvious number one guy, but there's a lot of talent at quarterback. And it's funny, Drew Aller is one of them from Penn State. If Drew Aller would have declared, he probably would have been the number two pick to his hometown Browns, but he goes back to Penn State and now we'll be talking about him. We'll be talking about Arch Manning. We'll see what happens this year with the two rookies and all that, but the Browns next year going into that draft will be so pivotal for them and for all the jobs in that building.
I'm gonna get to the Drew Aller thing here in a moment. I didn't realize there was that music behind it.
It was totally
the jazz music.
It was more distracting. We played Cavs clips earlier with Ahmad going nuts in the background.
Yeah.
And that was less distracting than what I just heard during that clip.
Dane Brugler putting it down on that ass here on a Monday morning.
Do you believe that? Do you think if Drew Aller was in the draft, he would have gone second?
That's what Drew says. That's what Dane says. Yeah.
The rest of this breakdown has to be done like this.
Drew Aller going to be coming to Cleveland.
This is nitty gritty football.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to it. Got some Miles Davis coming up. It's about the most I know about jazz.
We used to have a producer knew a lot about jazz.
We used to have a producer who said there was a lot of jazz.
But then he didn't really know so much jazz.
He didn't know any jazz.
Coltrane.
He knew no... Oh, yeah, there's Coltrane. John Coltrane for you. And Dane Brugler going to break down running backs momentarily. Actually, he's not. I'm just looking for things to say that jazz was...
Is he saying that...
The mashed potatoes...
A year from now, if the situation was the exact same and we're a year from now, Drew Aller would have gone too.
CBS
is that what he was saying?
CBS had their way too early mock draft. I think he's saying this year he would have went number two.
If Drew Aller would have come out this year, he was going to go number two. That's what he just said.
Why yell? He wouldn't.
Why yell? Well, you're disagreeing with a guy who makes something called The Beast.
I'm so mad.
That's insane.
I'm getting so mad.
Drew Aller would not have gone number two overall
this
year.
That's what he said.
Dane Brugler, who comes on our show every year, said that.
He would have been in the draft if the Browns were going to take him at number two overall.
You don't know that.
Yes, there would have been communication.
You want to play it again?
He's from Northeast Ohio.
I've got to get rid of this piano music.
Whoa. You don't know if there would have been communication or not.
Yes, there would have. 100% would have been communication. This is ridiculous.
Just play this other thing first.
You didn't want to
reckless speculation.
You didn't want to tip your hand.
I love Brugler. I'm not entertaining this, Dane.
Damn it. I'm going to get back to the Cavs here at some point. I wish I wouldn't open up this can of worms.
Play
the
clip again and try to disregard the music.
Play this on that ass.
The Travis Hunter trade. Like, I think that is going to be my lasting memory of this class is Jaguars being bold, getting someone that's going to help them on offense and defense. And then what does this mean for the Browns moving forward? It's a pretty exciting quarterback class next year. There's not like a Caleb Williams or a Drake May where it's like, oh, there's an obvious number one guy, but there's a lot of talent at quarterback. And it's funny, Drew Aller is one of them from Penn State. If Drew Aller would have declared, he probably would have been the number two pick to his hometown Browns. But he goes back to Penn State, and now we'll be talking about him.
No!
We'll be talking about Arch Manning. Wait. We'll see what happens this year with the two rookies and all that. But the Browns next year going into that draft will be so pivotal for them and for all the jobs in that building.
He would have been number two overall.
He would not have been.
Here.
Do you guys
agree
with that?
Let's calm you down a little bit.
Yeah.
You can't yell
over this. No one yells
over
this music like this.
My screaming and my outrage did not match the setting.
You're kidding, man. This is wildly inappropriate for you to be this loud over this music.
Let me try this again. No. No,
now you can't even sound that exasperated. You got to sound much cooler.
That's ridiculous, Dane.
No,
he would
Dane.
Not have gone number two overall.
It's absolutely ridiculous, Dane.
He's from Northeast Ohio.
You don't know that. He is from Northeast Ohio. That
we
you know
where he grew up.
But you don't know if there would have been real conversation there.
They could have talked to him.
I'm telling you right now.
There would have been lines of communication
CBS came out with their way too early mock draft. They had the Browns taking Drew Aller. In the literally number two overall in next year's draft.
Okay.
I think they had Arch Manning going number one, which is like, okay, Arch Manning ain't coming out. So I shared that last week, and oh boy, like November 1st is Drew Aller's Super Bowl, whether he likes it or not. You better play well against Ohio State. And the postseason's the postseason. You better get to the postseason to play well there. But boy, you better play well against Ohio State. He's a local young man, and I feel bad. I feel bad because the reaction Lima was not positive. I like him. Of course, I kept hearing about Mitch Trubisky because I kept saying the whole time I never was going to take Mitch Trubisky. I was going to take Myles Garrett, but damn it, no one wants to hear that. But he's a nice young local man, and he has traits that people would like to be an NFL quarterback, NFL guys like, but damn, if you can't play well in the postseason, you can't play that well against Ohio State, woo, this is not a conducive environment.
Yeah,
so I'm glad he went back, and I hope that he has success to make it a more conducive environment.
Part of it was, right, their offense where they did not throw to wide receivers in big games, right? They threw to the tight end every single time, and they ran the football. So the numbers are weird. Like, in their loss...
It was good for their tight end.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, him drafted him.
Which I can't believe he was not the first tight end taken. It was the kid from Michigan.
Yeah.
You know, he had 135 yards in their loss to Notre Dame in the playoffs.
It was really bad.
He had 175. Granted, again, they were running the ball against Boise. Against SMU, they dominated whatever, throw it out. He only had 127.
Well, their offense. But
the Ohio State game, 146. Does that sound like number two overall to you? I know it's a worse way to break
but
it down.
Their offense, but you gotta be honest with yourself. Their offense can be a little goofy. Like, they run that trap where they got that lineman coming downhill, and they do it two times in a row.
Yeah.
And I forget who's calling their plays now. I swear to God, the guy does it just so guys on the internet will like what he's doing. I swear to God, the guy's calling plays for Instagram.
Thing. It is.
I swear to God, he was calling plays for Instagram last year, and I was getting mad about it. I forget his name, but he got run from the film guys. Like, you know those Instagram film guys. I follow all of them. And he was getting run from, I'm telling you, I think that played into the play call. They run the ball anyway. They're a different type of offense. And I think that that's going to be a question for him to answer for the future. Because he comes from an offense in high school. That's all they do down in Medina is throw the damn ball. Those games are 4 hours long because that's all they do is throw the ball. So you go from that offense to this offense, it's going to take an adjustment period. I think there's a lot of people who don't want Drew Aller just because he's a local guy. Like they just don't want him. I think they see Medina and they see guys like, oh, Ken just likes him because he's local. And there is going to be a play into that because I like local people. That is part of it. But I'm not drafting a guy just because he's local. I'm not going to take him number two overall just because he's local. My God, that's silly. I'm not doing that. But he has to prove to a lot of people that he can play big in big games, or he's just a overrated Kyle McCord for a lot of people. So this year it has a tremendous amount of pressure on him, regardless if he ends up with the Browns or not. But if he ends up with the Browns, holy wah, it's going to be a weird draft night next year. It's going to be a weird one because I think there's going to be some people who are excited. There's going to be some people not excited. And for the people already writing them off, please, Joe Burrow and Cam Ward would like to have a word with you.
Well, by next year.
So don't start writing them off now.
Who is still going to be in that quarterback room a year from now?
Probably won't be Joe Flacco.
Right.
And depending on if Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski keep their jobs, it could be none of them. It could be all four.
Pickett's option was not picked up.
Correct.
Right? You know, remember that whole saga?
Yeah, it wasn't.
Okay, and Shador and Dylan. Is it one of those guys?
Yeah.
And then what about that Deshaun Watson?
He'll get cut next June.
Okay.
So you ain't got to worry about that. At least that's what I assume, right? All right. Coming up.
You know what happens when you assume, right, Ken?
I make an ass out of me and Lima. Should Lima and I be more worked up about the Cavs' loss in Game 1 against the Indiana Pacers? Lima's like, nah, we're, you know, physical Game 1, they'll answer to that. I don't know what we're going to do without Darius Garland, but I think a lot of this is, hey, shoot your threes better. You're going to have to get back in their face, and you should be able to take Game 2, and then we can do it from everything else. I don't want to get caught in this. Well, as long as we win on Tuesday, everything's hunky-dory, and we set sail for the rest of the series. I mean, it'd be great. But I think we kind of, because of the Heat series and because it's been such a long, wonderful regular season where they didn't lose many games at all, did we kind of forget how to hunker down and get ready for a back and forth?
Did we forget how the playoffs work, that you play against teams that are capable of beating you?
You know, and maybe this is, you knew that Miami, all right, there was some people bringing up Heat culture, but clearly that's gone, okay? Then you go back to Indiana. You're taking on Indiana. All right, you give them some credit for, like, I don't think a lot of people thought that the postseason in the Eastern Conference was going to get very serious until Boston. I think they were ready to get serious against Boston. I think some people did not think we were going to have to be very serious against Indiana. Whether or not you and I didn't do a good job preparing them for that, I just didn't want to sit here on Friday and go, ooh, let's be afraid of the Pacers. I think that's a silly way to go about the business. You can respect the Pacers. You can respect them, yes.
Is it as simple as a bad shooting night? Like, if this was game three, if the Cavs were up 2-0 in game three and all this happened in game
It'd be a hell of a lot simpler if Darius Garland was on the floor.
Everybody would just go, oh, they shot bad.
It'd be a lot simpler if he were on the floor. Since he's not on the floor, I have to, okay, what are you going to be? What are we? Because if he's not able to go tomorrow night, or he says he's able to go, and he's going to go, all right, I thought you were going to go yesterday. So now I have to question whether or not you're going to be out there. If you're not going to be out there, yeah, if we're getting ready for this game tomorrow night and there's a report he ain't going to be out there, I'm gonna be a little bit worked up. Not mad at him. I mean, it is what it is, but I'm going to be pretty nervous for that.
Well, it just obviously part of it that stinks is we don't know. We don't know the severity of an injury at this time. Like, even in the regular season, they will kind of obscure stuff. And that's more teams are doing it now than ever when it comes to injuries. They're basically only telling you what they have to tell you by the letter of the law because of the gambling consequences and all that. But we're in the playoffs now. Rick Carlisle pregame was like, Darius is going to play. So the Pacers were like, yeah, there's no way he's not going to play. I mean, he sat the two games out. He had the rest. But nobody knows the injury. Like, nobody really, really knows what this injury is. You're just getting a lot of speculation. And we played the Jared Greenberg earlier from TNT, and he talked to Darius, and Darius is like, I'm fine. Okay, well, that's all we're going on.
Darius Garland dealing with a frustrating injury, a sprain of his left big toe, which is keeping him out for a third straight game, an injury that requires rest to heal. The good news, I've been told, is there's no structural damage. However, Garland continues to battle significant swelling and pain. He will remain day-to-day and could play in game two on Tuesday. In fact, he just came out into the court. I talked to him briefly, and he feels confident he will be able to play Tuesday. However, if this was the regular season, Garland would likely be shut down for another week to 2 weeks to stay off of the toe. This injury described to me as a major burden for a shifty point guard who needs to push off with confidence.
Audio courtesy of TNT. The structural damage thing is not that great of news to me because if it were February, I think that'd be good news. We're at the end of the year. So, yeah, if he got hurt more, I guess it is somewhat good news, but that doesn't matter as much as him being able to play.
Well, how does this injury compare?
Now you're playing for it all.
To everybody, when we talk about guys in the playoffs, everybody's hurt. Everybody's banged up.
He can't go. I'm sure he wants to go. I'm sure, like, he's frustrated. I'm sure he knows the criticism.
The minute that the Lakers were eliminated, and people have noticed, it's every year with this.
What is it?
But the minute it ended, it was, oh, LeBron's got his MCL. He's going to get attention to that. Every guy this time of year, the minute the season ends, we hear about that. So is this a standard, normal, end-of-the-year NBA, guys are banged up, or is this significant? It's going to mess with the way he plays.
It's got to be significant. It has to be. If it's just standard and banged up, then I guess, you know, forget the Ty Jerome thing. I guess we can't be long for him anyway, because if he's just going to get banged up and that's going to be it, which he's actually been pretty healthy throughout the most of his career, and he's been able to play through some things. But if he's not able to go, well, then damn, Tone, I just don't think it's going to be. If it were run of the mill, I think he'd have been out there last night. It's not run of the mill. It has to be hampering him and really being a problem for him.
Was he hurt with this injury before game two of the Heat series?
They said it was a re-aggravation, so yes. Okay.
Well, yeah, and Windhorse seemed to be troubled by it a week ago, and I kind of chalked it up to, yeah, I mean, they're playing coy about a lot of this.
You had a week to kill. What were you going to do?
I know. And, you know, he wasn't doing any contact stuff, but the thought was, you know, he'll get out there, and he's banged up, but eventually he'll be fine, and guys are banged up at this time of year. And now I was also thinking, were they playing it a little cute? Like, don't play him in game one because we should still be able to win. We've dominated without him.
Maybe, but I got to tell you, I think he knows what's said about him. I think he definitely wanted to be out there. I don't think he would have done what he had done where, I know, non-contact, but it was a participant in practice the day before or 2 days before. I don't think that that's... I think he desperately wants to be out there, and I wonder if he cost himself game one because he was trying to push it for game one. Dennis in Cleveland, you're first up in the Fan. Hello.
How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I just want to say, man, I hate to say it. Every year is something different, man. Now we're dealing with a toe. And then the best we can do at the point guard is Merle. We're in trouble.
Well, we're in real trouble. You have Ty Jerome usually running your point when he's not there. But
we didn't do it last night. Well, he didn't start last night.
Listen, every year. Well, Sam started the other nights anyway against Miami. I know Ty Jerome was the focus for everybody, but Sam started. Am I wrong, Tony?
Yeah, but he's not able to break down anybody. He's not going to be effective against Indiana and those athletic guards they got. And he's undersized, too. So, I mean, we're in trouble, man.
Well, 6'2", I mean, there's every year he's not that big. That's why I think that he was trying to push it to get out there yesterday. And I do have a concern for game two. If they come out and they say he's not going to be able to play game two, like, yeah, I mean, you don't want to get down in a 2-0 hole against this team, especially with what Ty Jerome wasn't able to do against
and
a team
then
with length.
Going on the road.
Yes. So you don't want to be in that moment there. So I think if he's able to go, yeah, we're going to keep a close eye on him because he could just be out there jogging around and he might not be great.
And in this series, no, this is not the series you can jog around. You saw how much running, high octane, back and forth, as quick of a pace as you will see in the playoffs, especially second round. Normally things are slowing down to a crawl. This has been completely the opposite. I mean, look at the score. The Cavs couldn't hit a three. They scored 112 points.
I'll tell you what. Dennis thinks we should be a little bit more concerned than what we are. 216-474-0092. Should we be more concerned about this series after the Cavs dropped game one to the Indiana Pacers?